The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do? Now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then he said to another, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light." The Gospel of the Lord. Students, we are all stewards of a very wealthy person. Whose stewards are we? Ethan. God's stewards. What does it mean to be a steward? What's a steward? We don't use that word very often. Does anybody know? Okay, good. Okay, another Ethan. Okay, it's a servant in a sense. So a steward is when someone works for another person and the steward is entrusted with that person's possessions or their money or their property, and they're supposed to watch over it for their master, for the one to whom it was, from whom it was entrusted to them. So how are we God's stewards? Because absolutely everything we have, He gave to us. And He wants us to use it in the way that He desires for His glory. A number of years ago, a movie came out, and it was about a man who, during World War II, he lived in Germany. And he owned a big factory. And what he found out during the war is you could get Jewish people to work for you for very little money, because they were not valued highly. And so what happened to this factory owner, he became very, very wealthy. Well, what he realized during the war, that Jewish people were being put to death. And so since they were working for him, he decided he would start to try to save their lives. So little by little, he would welcome one more Jewish person to work for him. At the end of the war, guess how many Jewish people he saved? 137 people. So at the very end of the war, it shows in the movie, they're coming up to him and they're crying and they're so thankful. They say, you saved my life. You saved my children. You saved my husband. And this man, his name was Mr. Schindler. And as the people came up to him, he started to cry. And they were not tears of joy. They were tears of sorrow. Because he looked down and on his left wrist was a watch. And he said, "I could have bought 6 more Jews with this watch alone." And he looked at the suit, a very fancy, elegant suit, and he said, "If I had sold this, how many Jewish people could I have saved?" And he looked at his expensive car, and he realized, "I could have done so much more." How many of you have seen the movie Les Mis? Okay, a number of you. I want to tell one more story. There's a man, he's released from prison. He'd been in jail for 20 years because he had stolen a loaf of bread for his starving niece and nephew. And he's thrown in jail and he stays there for so long, he's finally set free. And he goes to try to get a job and people won't hire him. They say, "You were in jail? Are you kidding? You're not going to work for me." And he tries place to place. And one day he's walking down the road and he's desperate. He thinks, what am I going to do? And he's starving and he's freezing cold. And he walks by the house of a priest. Actually, the priest was a bishop. And the bishop sees him and he says, you're welcome to come in. You can stay here as long as you need. And he prepares a nice meal for the man. And he gives him a warm bed to sleep in. Well, during dinner, this man who had been set free from jail, he notices that the silverware he's using is so nice. It must be worth a lot of money. In the middle of the night, he wakes up and he goes down and he steals all the silverware. And he thinks, I can make a lot of money and I can start a new life. And he takes off running. The police catch him. And they bring him back to the bishop's house. And they say, we caught this man. He has taken something from you that must mean a lot to you. And the bishop says, can you hold on just a second? And he goes into the kitchen and he takes two candlesticks worth thousands of dollars. They're the most expensive thing that he owns. And he comes back out and he says, excuse me, officers, you're mistaken. I gave that silverware to him, but my brother, you forgot these. And this man who had been in jail, he's just shocked. How could this man do this? And the police leave and he says, my brother, you must change your life. I have bought your soul for God. The man leaves and the bishop's sister comes running out. She says, are you crazy? What are you doing? Mom and Dad gave those to us. They've been in our family for generations. And he said, no, Mom and Dad didn't give those to us. God did. And maybe it was for this reason alone that he entrusted those to us, that we could save this man's life and his soul. Let us ask our Lord in this Mass that we might be good stewards, that every gift that he has given us will be used for his glory.